Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Christmas service. And can I start off by saying Merry Christmas? My name is Albie. I'm one of the ministers here, and it's great that you can come along. And welcome if you're joining us online as well. Now, I really actually appreciate that Bible reading, partly because it is the Bible reading. It's the Word of God to us. But also thank you for that preamble, because that will come in handy a little bit later as we look at that passage. And so hold on to some of those things, and we'll touch on those things as we go through the talk. Now, let me start off by asking, what is the best news that you've heard this year? Maybe it's the fact that you've found out that you're pregnant, or maybe it's a sickness or disease that has finally gone away. Maybe for you, it's getting a promotion at work, or it's your kids. They've received a prize. They've made the first 11 in sport. What's the best news you've ever heard? And I ask that because that's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is great news, especially when things are bad. The passage that was read out for us is Isaiah chapter 9. It's written 700 years before Mary and Joseph go to Bethlehem, or there's a star in the sky, or the angels appear. Jesus is born in a manger. It's written in the 8th century BC. And yet at the same time, Isaiah chapter 9 is all about Christmas. But before we get there, the people that Isaiah is writing to, they are in darkness. Let me read verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. The people that Isaiah is writing to, they are in trouble. There is darkness all around them. As Ian helpfully said, it's actually not just one country, but two countries right above them have declared war on these people. And so they are terrified. It's a little bit like today if you are living in Taiwan and China finally decides to attack, but it's not just China. North Korea decided to get in on the act as well, and they gang up together. The people back then, they are walking in darkness. They are terrified. Now, we live here in peaceful Australia. The idea of war is far away. But we know what it means to be in darkness. This whole year, these past couple of years, it feels like that we've been living in darkness with COVID. This shroud that's hanging around us and never goes away. Or maybe it's a little bit closer to home, literally. Maybe it's relationships with your parents or your spouse or your kids, it's broken and there are problems at home. Maybe it's stress at work. Maybe it's your health, your own health, or the health of a loved one. All kinds of darkness. But the Bible talks about another darkness. And again, Ian flagged it in terms of what's the deeper problem that we see in Isaiah. It's actually turning our backs on God. And the problem is this darkness affects all of us. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment that you've been invited to the best Christmas party ever. And there's no COVID, so there's no worries about getting sick. You don't have to worry about a mask. The food at this party, it is fantastic. There's lobster and steak, Christmas stuffing, pavlova. The entertainment is great. Even if you're an introvert, this party is great. And the host has paid for everything. Now, there's one problem. At this party, you ignore the host. The person who's paid for everything, the person who gives you everything, you ignore him. Now, that's a hypothetical. We would never do that. But that's what we do to God. We love all the things that God gives us. Our work, our lives, the sun. He made us. We love the gifts, but not the giver. And the problem is to ignore this host, to turn your back on the one who made us, there is judgment. And that's a darkness that affects all of us. All of us are stuck in the same place. Now, going back to Christmas, do you see why Isaiah 9 is good news? Why Isaiah 9 is great news? Because for people walking in darkness, there's hope. there is a light. In the middle of deep darkness, the sun has come up. Now, the really strange thing, if you jump down to verse 6, the light in the midst of darkness, the light is actually a baby. Let me read verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Now, there are some babies born into the world who have big expectations. Maybe when you first held your child, you had big expectations for them. Prince George of Cambridge comes to mind. He's only 8 years old, but he's the third in line to the British throne. There are some big expectations for Prince George. But that's nothing compared to the baby here in Isaiah chapter 9. Did you see in verse 7? He's going to rule forever. And he's going to bring justice and peace and righteousness. This is a little bit bigger than Prince George. Now jump forward 700 years and we know who this baby is. We've actually been singing about this baby all morning. It's talking about Jesus. But these words here in Isaiah, they're a roadmap that God gives us to show us who Jesus is and what Jesus is on about. Because God doesn't want us to be in any doubt about his son. When Jesus arrived, God wants us to know completely who he is. It's like you're playing a game of guess who. And you're trying to work out who the person is based on the clues that you have. You know, does a person wear glasses? Does he have a beard? Is his hair yellow or is his hair brown? Isaiah chapter 9 gives us 4 clues about Jesus. Isaiah chapter 9 gives us 4 titles that describe who Jesus is. Take a look at verse 6. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Now that's title number 1 and number 2. He has the wisdom of God and the power of God. He's a counselor. He is wise. And he's powerful. He's mighty. Number 3, Everlasting Father. Now, which for Isaiah, as he's writing this, this would have been completely confusing. How can the Everlasting Father be a baby? Those two things, they don't make sense. They clash. Those two things are completely opposite. They're different things until Jesus comes. Because all of a sudden, you have God becoming one of us as a baby in his son, in Jesus. To see the clues that God is giving us in this game of guess who. Jesus has the wisdom of God. He teaches with authority. He has wise sayings and parables. He tells us how to live. And he has the power of God. He does incredible things as he grows up. He heals a man who's been paralyzed since he was born. He calms a raging storm. He makes a blind man see again. A girl who was dead comes back to life. And did you see the last title in verse 6? He's the Prince of Peace. Now that's what all those pictures in verse 5 are talking about. Every warrior's boot, every piece of clothing that's been covered in blood is going to be thrown away. Because now there is peace. And the peace that Jesus brings is especially peace with God. Peace with God. Remember what I said earlier about the fact that we're all in darkness. Because we don't treat God the way that we should, we're going to face his judgment. If you don't have Jesus by ourselves, between us and God, there is no peace. We've done the wrong thing, and God should punish us. But the incredible thing is that Jesus came to die for us. Jesus takes that punishment that we deserve. There's another part of Isaiah chapter 53. It describes what Jesus is going to do. Again, 700 years before Jesus arrives. Let me read it out. Isaiah 53, verse 5. Now, transgressions and iniquities, they're the things that we do wrong. They're the things that are the reason why God should judge us. Verse 5, talking about Jesus. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. In other words, Jesus gets killed for us. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Now, there's a tradition in America. At Thanksgiving, they give a turkey to the president. And instead of killing the turkey, instead of cooking it for dinner, it gets a presidential pardon and it gets to go free. And the turkey lives the rest of its life at Disneyland or at a university somewhere. It's a pretty good life for a turkey. That's actually what God does for us. We get a presidential pardon. We get to go free. Except it doesn't come cheap. It comes at the cost of God's Son. God gives everything. Because the things that we do, they actually matter. And either we pay for it or Jesus does. Do you see why Christmas is incredible news? It's about a God who sees us living in darkness, our darkness, the things that we do wrong. And he doesn't just leave us. He doesn't ignore us. He doesn't just walk away. He loves us. And he sends his Son, he sends Jesus, the baby in a manger. Now, don't let the manger fool you. Jesus has the wisdom of God and the power of God. Jesus comes to bring peace. Peace with God our Father. Christmas is incredible news. Now, with everything that's been going on with COVID, the world events, the headlines are full of bad news. But early in the week, I spotted a news article that was actually good news. It was about a teacher called Paige Bramlett, who works as a behavioral specialist in a kindergarten. And she noticed that there was this five-year-old boy that she was working with. And because this five-year-old had been living around home to home as a foster child ever since he was age one, he was showing signs of trauma. He was showing signs of having post-traumatic stress disorder. And so she wanted to help. And so what did she do? She adopted him, even though she's only 24 years old. And this Christmas will be their first Christmas as a family. And it struck me what she wrote. She wrote, "Now he is adopted, loved, chosen. He's my son." Now, I thought that was a beautiful story. Loved, chosen, he's my son. And again, friends, that is what God does for us. He invites us to come into a relationship with himself. Now, we don't deserve it. We do nothing to earn it, but we need it. We need this forgiveness. We need this relationship. Because of Jesus, because of the baby at Christmas, we can be loved, we can be chosen, and we can be part of God's family. Now, at Christmas, there's all sorts of presents. Maybe you've woken up this morning and you've already opened them. Maybe you're going to go home and you'll open up them up a little bit later. Now, a present is only going to be useful if you take it and if you accept it. You can get the best present ever. The most expensive gift that there is, the thing that you really desperately need, and you can just leave it behind. Or you can grab it with two hands and be blown away by what it is. Now, Christmas is God's present to us. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the surprising fact, it is God's son. It's Jesus. Now, we can either leave him behind or we can grab hold of him and be blown away by who Jesus is. Let me lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the great message of Christmas. We thank you, Lord, that it reminds us that you are a God who sees us in our darkness. Whatever it is that we've been struggling with for the past year, whatever it is that we're struggling with now, Lord, you see us in the darkness of our sin, and you have given us a great light. You have given us your Son, who comes with the wisdom of God, the power of God, who comes to bring us peace. We pray that this Christmas, that this gift will wash over us, that we don't just leave it under the Christmas tree, but if we've never come to actually recognize Jesus for who he is, we pray, Lord, that this Christmas you might spur us into action, that we might sign up for Christianity Explored, that we might keep coming to church, that we might pull open the Bible and read through one of the Gospels. And for us who already know you, we pray that we might be amazed again by the incredible news of Christmas. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.